You were obviously honored, you know, when President Nixon bestowed the medal on you. What does that mean to you, reflecting on what you're describing right now?
Well, you know, I was actually embarrassed when you stand up there, there's people on the White House lawn, and you know very well that guys like Jack and guys like Hook and Pappy Coleman and the guys that flew with me, you know very, very well that they did everything that you did, and nobody saw it. And it's just that simple. The greatest thing about that award is that a bunch of your buddies saw it, appreciated it, and took the time to put you in for it. And so that, you know, you wear that for them. That, you know, that sounds trite, but it's absolutely true. Guy says, I'm doing my duty. All I'm doing is, that's absolutely true. Except on some occasions, somebody will see what you've done and will appreciate it and will take the time to write it up. And that's how I got the Medal of Honor.
Describe, once you go in once and you see what's on the ground, whether it's mines and it's explosions and getting shot at, and they have to crawl out of the medics, have to crawl out of the helicopter and do what you describe. Well, fine, maybe the first time, but when the bell rings the next time, what does it take to do it 6, 8, 10 times a day, day after day, week after week?
Yeah, that's a trick. Guys will oftentimes be very, very gung-ho the first time in, and then the next time after they see what they've seen, you might have some problems. But we never had that problem with our medics and with our crew chiefs on the helicopters. These guys were saving lives. And you know, they would say, okay, we went in, the aircraft went in, he got shot up, left, and then Dustoff went in after the other aircraft got shot up and got the patients out. Big deal. Well, guess what? The second mouse gets the cheese. And it's just that simple. The guys that would be shooting, by the time we got there, it was not that bad. We were able to go in using different flying techniques and be pretty secure about what we did. But the key to the kind of people that we had with, there's no experience in the world that can match the experience of saving another human being's life. Nothing like it. I had an experience when I was a young kid, swimming and another thing, and geez, I just felt so good about it. In Vietnam, we did that day in and day out, saving lives. And so these guys, like Jack, Treese, and the Hook, and Coleman, and these guys, they were up every morning eager to go out and to rescue those people, to overcome the obstacles, to get around the enemy, to get in that terrain or the weather or whatever the problem was, and to get that guy out and get him into a hospital where the physician saved his life. That was a fact.
Where does the word fear come into any of this conversation?
Oh, God. Fear is a horrible thing. But what you have to do is, fear will cause to happen that which caused it. Just think about that. You didn't want to do it. My faith was a substitute for fear. I'm a Catholic. I was never afraid in combat. The system that I used to get the Medal of Honor was the system the good Lord showed me, flying in 00 weather in day, and the system I used to get the Distinguished Service Cross was a system that the good Lord showed me at night, flying in weather as well. Fear is an emotion. Courage is a decision. Big difference between a guy who reacts under the emotion of fear when his life is on the line and the lives of the people around him are on the line, he is in a reaction mode. The guys like Jack Treese and Steve and the guys that flew with me, that was a decision. They knew what they were going into. That is real courage when they will do that day in and day out.
When you came back, you know, after your second tour, and Jack, you know, came back obviously around the same time, how were you received when you got back?
Well, the good thing about what happened to us in Vietnam is that America was kind of ashamed of the way they treated us, and they're treating the guy today so much better. And you got guys like Gary going to take care of these kids.
Nice. You know, when so many of you came back and the media was on this, of course, like a hawk during the Vietnam War, and calling the returning soldiers and airmen baby killers, what could you possibly say back to that if you heard that?
Well, here's the way I looked at it. I didn't believe that was the American people speaking. I believe that was the media. And you don't want to get me started on the media. But I do believe, they're supposed to tell us the truth about ourselves. They don't do that. They're so essential to our freedom. And they just don't really do their job. But I felt like what went on when we came back from Vietnam was a product of the media. We didn't. Today, the kids that go out and they're welcomed and idolized. We kind of went underground. We went back to our jobs. I stayed in the military, and although I hated it when I went in, I didn't want nothing to do with it. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So I think the American people appreciate the Vietnam veteran, and I know today because of the way they treated us, I feel this sincerely. That they are treating this guy in a way that they will never be confused with the way they treated us in Vietnam.
Yeah. Gary, as you listen to this, I'm thinking you've put your money where your mouth is. General Brady just said to all of us, we've got a job to do, to become part of solutions, not continuing to be part of the problem through not doing anything. You're doing it with your foundation. Tell me about the foundation, how you formed it, and what you're doing with it.
Well, it's an honor to be here with my friend General Brady here. I am very much motivated by what you just said, Pat, which is the Vietnam veterans in my family are the ones that really opened my eyes back as a young man. Now, I have veterans on my side of the family. My Uncle Jack, World War II, and my Uncle Jerry was on a ship in the Pacific in World War II. My dad was in the Navy. My grandfather was an ambulance driver in France in World War I. But on my wife's side of the family, it was the Vietnam veterans who were just a little bit older than I when I graduated from high school and who I met because of my wife, who really opened my eyes and educated me quite a bit to what guys just a little bit older than I were going through when I was kind of diddly-bopping around and playing guitar and chasing girls and things like that in high school. So when that happened, when I got this education from meeting her brothers and Jack Treese, her sister's husband, a lot changed for me. And so I became very involved early on in the late 70s and 80s. So in the late 70s and early 80s, I just got a real awakening there. Sound of Freedom is still going on, isn't it? And that's great. And I got very involved with locally in the Chicago area with local Vietnam veterans groups and worked with them from early 80s up until the mid-90s, and then I played a Vietnam veteran in Forrest Gump. So I felt very prepared, just very motivated when I got that part to honor our Vietnam veterans and to do right by them by playing that particular character. And then through that, I got involved with the disabled American veterans because I played an injured veteran, and I was introduced to the DAV. And that's a big reason why I'm here today. They sponsor these concerts that I do. And I've been involved with them since 1994. And then after September 11th, when we deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq, it felt that there was a purpose for me beyond staying home. And so I volunteered for the USO and got very involved with that and a lot of different military charities that were popping up in reaction to the attacks on September 11th. And then that manifested itself into my own foundation, the Gary Sinise Foundation, and whose whole purpose is to serve and honor the needs of our military men and women, our first responders, those who protect and defend and provide our security and freedom for us, and those in need. And that's what the Gary Sinise Foundation is trying to do all around the country.
So on a day-to-day basis, where do these commitments take you and the people who work with you? I mean, physically, where do you go?
I'm constantly traveling. Today I'm doing this veteran support concert here. Last week I was somewhere, and the week before I was somewhere else. We're doing quite a bit. You can learn about the foundation at GarySinisFoundation.org. But one of the great things that has happened through the course of this post 9/11 reaction and response is that I was connected with our Medal of Honor recipients in the Medal of Honor Foundation, and I'm on the President's Advisory Group for the Medal of Honor Foundation, and I have since become a national spokesperson for the Medal of Honor Museum that we're going to build in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. So I want to encourage everybody to go to medalofhonormuseum.org. It's the Medal of Honor Museum website. It'll completely key you in to what we're going. I think General Brady would probably want to talk a little bit about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. General, tell us about it and why it's important.
You know, they say that every so-called hero must at last become a bore. So all of those of us who are in the Medal of Honor Society, in order to keep from becoming bores, have decided to do something. In the old days when we had conventions, you would go there and we would party. And when you party with guys like Pappy Boyington, Commando Kelly, Scooter Burke, these are world-class partiers. And we decided that, and Chief Childress, my God, I partied with him one night and I don't remember it. But we went to Philadelphia one time. And the mayor there, Mayor Rendell, says, would you guys in the Medal of Honor Society, we have a convention in some city around the United States every year, would you go on a drug walk with us? Well, we didn't know what a drug walk was, but we walked through these urban or suburban or whatever, these neighborhoods, these downtrodden neighborhoods at night to show the drug dealers, I guess, that the mayor was there and that the Medal of Honor recipients were with him. And so the next day they said, well, why don't you go to a school? So we did. We went to a high school in Philadelphia and we had to go through metal detectors. And we thought, good Lord, you know, we have got to leave something behind besides a hangover. When we leave from now on and go to a place, we're going to do something else. So we developed our character development program. Gary's been instrumental on that. He's in our board. This is probably the finest, the most powerful board in the world. The people who are on that board are world-class American citizens who have created thousands and thousands of jobs and done great things for this country. And so through our character development program, we go into the schools across America and we teach children the importance of courage, source of success, sacrifice, a source of happiness, what a hero is, have to be a good person to be a hero, and what America's nobility is and patriotism. We use Medal of Honor vignettes to bring out these different points. And they're online, they're free, and you can get to them anytime you want.